What a great way to start your first podcast. Before this episode actually does begin, I have to apologize in advance for some recording issues Caroline and I had. We are amateurs. We sat too close to each other, and you can hear some really bad echoes. Other than that, we had a lot of fun, and this has been a long time in the making. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks. Welcome to Come Read With Me. I'm Jeff, and this is my world. This podcast is about getting to know my friends better by reading a book with them and discussing it. Some of these friends read a lot, some read a little, and some, honestly, I'm not sure if they can read, but we'll find out, that's for sure. Today's guest reader is Caroline. We've known each other for a little over 4 years and have had a fascinating time living here in Boston. The third part of our personality, Haley, will hopefully make an appearance on a later podcast. Say hi, Caroline.
Hello.
So today we're going to discuss From Russia With Love. We are in a book group together.
Yes.
And we discovered it through the local library. And why did we why did we decide to first go to this book group?
Because we wanted to meet boys.
And how did that work out for us?
Not very well. As
can be seen.
Should be expected.
Yeah. So, but it's an interesting group of people. I mean, we get to see a part of Somerville where we live that we never would interact with.
True.
We're the youngest by about 20 years almost? No, 15, maybe 15?
15 and then for one person, and then the rest probably
are in their 60s.
40.
Yeah, 70s? We're not that old.
One lady? She's probably in her 70s.
She just retired. So yeah, late 60s. So yeah, so we started, and that was, it's been almost 2 years, I think. Has it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's been at least 2 summers. I don't remember when it was. We've done it since before you started dating Nick.
Yeah.
And how long, and you guys are going on 2 years?
Yeah.
No, you had your 2 year anniversary.
We met in January 2012.
Yeah, so, oh shit, we've been doing it for longer than 2 years then. Maybe we started it right about the time you started dating him. Yeah, and we did Friday Night Lights was our first book.
Right, so it was probably, I don't know, a couple of months before I met him.
Okay. Yeah. I don't really remember it. God, we've been doing it for that long.
So since 2011, so that's 3 years.
Oh, we're actually crazy.
Two
and a half, yeah. So we're actually
not
crazy.
As bad.
Yeah.
Well, we stuck with it.
True. I forgot to start my timer. So yeah, so this was actually my book. I wanted to do this one, and I just wanted to do it because I was always obsessed with the title. But you actually had a couple of really good observations about why it was a great book for February.
Well, in honor of the Olympics. Sochi Olympics.
If you want to go listen to a really bad podcast, listen to my first podcast, Oddness Moving, and I talked about Sochi. I think it was in episode 2. It was only the second episode, and I only did 2.
So the second and last.
I talked about that. And then From Russia With Love, and you were like, oh, Valentine's Day, love, yay!
Yeah.
So what did you think about the book?
Not really that great, I don't think.
Yeah. Now, is it because of the action or, like, the lack of action? Because I struggled the entire first half of the book.
See, I actually like the first half of the book better than the second half.
Really?
Because I kind of like getting the backstory on everyone and, like, seeing how they turned out or how they got to where they are and then whatever from on. But, like, the action wasn't that great in the second half, and then people turned out being not as cunning or smart as I thought they were gonna be.
Yeah, but it didn't bother you that Bond didn't appear. Like, he wasn't even mentioned until, like, 75 pages in, and then, like, he didn't actually appear until part 2, which was, like, 120 pages or something?
No.
Huh.
Because I didn't know if this was the first book in the series or not, and that would kind of be probably typical.
Oh, wait, and we found out it was the second book, right? Because I think Dr. No was first.
Second or third, not sure.
I struggled because I actually forgot about the guy from the first 100 pages. And then at the end, I was like, oh, I know what's going to happen because I remembered it. But you had different expectations because I texted you about the first line and about the opening scene of the book and was like, oh, there's a naked man getting a massage from a naked woman.
I also thought it was going to be more erotic. But they did have a few sex scenes.
Wait, but what did you think about the sex scenes? They were very, very tame, right?
Yeah.
Because it was in the, what was this, like 1950-something?
Yeah, I guess. Maybe even earlier.
1957 was the first publication.
57.
So yeah, so part of our book group, we watched the movie. What did you think about that?
It was dreadful. It was so boring.
Why was it? Well, I mean, neither of us paid attention. And we played
I was
games.
like, I'm gonna play some puzzles on my computer or on my phone and watch this.
Wait, so I mean, but if you wouldn't have been able to play a game, you would have just like turned it off.
No, because I generally like watch a movie through, but I know I tried to watch one other Bond movie with Sean Connery and like could not get through it because it was so slow moving, and that was true for this one as well. Slow, I mean, for the time period, okay, the graphics are what they could be.
Oh, but the fights were horrible.
The fights are horrible, and like there wasn't really that much suspense, I don't think.
I agree. But what did you think of Sean Connery as a young man?
He was very good looking.
Very attractive. Did you
yes.
know he was? Did you know he was a weightlifter?
I did not.
He was a competitive bodybuilder.
I did not. That's interesting.
I googled it. I didn't Google that. I googled young Sean Connery. All of these.
That brought up some good images.
they were interesting. That's for sure. All of these pictures of him like shirtless and like in like I guess bodybuilder underwear, like a Speedo mm-hmm. or something. I was like, what the hell's going on? And he was apparently a competitive bodybuilder.
But that's weird because he's not as big as, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
When was that filmed, do we know? I don't remember when that was originally released. But I have a feeling it was far ahead of Schwarzenegger, so that the body types were completely different.
Well, true, and probably steroids and all that. I mean...
Accusations.
I mean, what? Nobody does steroids in bodybuilding.
So, let's see. From Russia with Love was released in 1963. So, what? Schwarzenegger was big, starting to get big in, like, the 80s, wasn't he? When did he do Terminator? You're the movie buff.
Yeah, that was in the 80s, but he was a bodybuilder before that, so it was probably the 70s that he was a bodybuilder. Because he had a movie. He had a documentary that I watched. He's such a tool. I had to.
You watched a documentary. He was, holy shit, he was lifting weights in the late 60s. In 1967, Schwarzenegger competed in and won the Munich Stone Lifting Contest.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But if you watch, I forget what it's called, might be listed on there, but it's a documentary on bodybuilding, and it follows Arnold Schwarzenegger around in either the late 60s or the early 70s, and it is terrible. Like, his accent is awful.
I want you to do his accent. The title is Pumping Iron.
Pumping Iron. I don't know. I can't do that.
Pumping Iron. I am Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But it's so awful, because he desperately makes some misogynistic comments also throughout the film.
Looking at this, we're using Wikipedia for all of our sources, so they're clearly well-sourced. He won Mr. Universe as an amateur in 1967.
Yeah.
So that's like, I didn't realize he was that old.
He is pretty old. And I think the documentary is right after that.
Oh, that's gross. But going back to Sean Connery, it's his dimples. Who cares how muscly he is? He had some cute dimples. Hold on, I'll show you a picture.
Yeah, and I mean, he just seems nice.
Yeah, the accent doesn't hurt.
The accent is great. Oh.
See, just the little dimples.
But see, he's not like ginormous like Arnold Schwarzenegger is, which is sort of, see, they all look pretty normal.
Yeah, he's super cute. Maybe it has to do with like where they work, because like he's Scottish, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Wait, do that one. Yeah. Ooh. Oh,
smoldering. I might include
that
this.
Raised eyebrow. Oh,
I might include these pictures in the show notes. We'll see. But yeah, so we don't want to get too distracted. But what did you think about, I know you had a lot of issues, I think in the movie, but I think maybe in the book as well, with the female characters.
Yeah, well, and I think that was with the setup, too. In the initial part of the book, it sets her up, I thought, to be a little bit more smarter than in the later section. It was more like, oh, like, no, I really just want him to love me, and, like, blah, blah, blah. And, like, not really as smart as I would think a secret agent for a highly selective agency would be.
I agree, and I thought that was interesting because in the movie, they changed it. In the book, she was part of SMERG. Russian people that go kill all the spies.
Yeah.
But she was an agent.
Smersh.
Smersh?
Yeah.
Yeah. She was an agent, but, like, she wasn't just like an office agent, like, like an office woman. Whereas, like, in the movie, they were kind of like, oh, we pick her because she's pretty and she can do stuff. So I feel like a lot of the dumbing down of the female character, I mean, it wasn't, it was the 1950s and Ian Fleming when he wrote that, but a lot of the dumbing down occurred from the translation from the book to the movie. Or like the
True.
super dumbing down, like they took her
Yeah,
from
'cause
being like,
I think in the movie she's only like a kind of like a secretary, and so she
yeah.
has access to whatever the coding machines, and that's why she's useful. Whereas in the book it's more like
She had to pretend to be a secretary and then fall in love with him because she was transferred to that office.
Right, and I assume she had other more important duties before that, or I hope so.
So, what did you think about the lesbian
Oh my God, I was horrified.
aspirations, I guess, in the
Well,
book?
I think it was just horrific because for the fact of like,
That terrifying old lady.
yeah, she's scary, she's gross, she like hasn't showered, and she's gonna like want this girl to, have sex with her or
You
something.
should say it. What does our library friend say? Please don't say
No, I hate that. I don't really like that word.
it.
So, yeah, it kind of grossed me out. So I was pretty excited that she just ran away.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, because that A takes balls, and
Oh yeah.
then
Ovaries. It takes ovaries.
takes ovaries. Yeah, and then she didn't get like penalized for it. And I thought it was interesting that it never actually resurfaced, like
What was her name? Not it's not
Cleb.
Hilda. Clep.
Cleb.
Cleb. Yeah, and that's just such a it's like a makes me think of like a foot, like a club foot almost.
Yeah, well, I just imagined her as very like kind of bullish and almost piggy faced.
Yeah.
So like really kind of just
Little
ugh.
bit like Umbridge. No, wait, she's got a different name. Like Umbridge from Harry Potter, but you call
Right.
her something else.
No,
Caroline read the Harry Potter series in German.
she was Umbridge. The only character who was differently named was Rita Kimcorn.
Oh, Rita Skeeter, that's right. Okay. For some reason I thought it was Umbridge. I actually thought it was really interesting that he included the lesbian portion because this was, it was the 1950s. It wasn't
Yeah.
super like yay, openness. And I mean it was sort of that time period before the Lavender Scare occurred with McCarthy around then, I think. It's around that time period during the Cold War. So like they were pretty open. There were open artists that were talking about it and writing about it. But I just like when I read that, I was like, "What?"
But I think it gives her, I don't know, maybe more strength. Because I don't know if you, I guess,
You think
thinking,
Kleb?
yeah. Because you think, like, I don't know. Straight woman will like fall for the whatever of men, whereas like a lesbian is just smart and like if she's like a butch lesbian, like strong and smart and whatever. I don't
Oh, I don't know about that. That seems super awful sexist.
Well, 1950s, if that's
True,
the
very
thinking.
true. But I think part of it, maybe that's why, and they don't, this is this what we're discussing is mentioned sort of in passing on one page in the book. But maybe that's why she was so great. Like she was the only female head. She survived multiple regimes, and maybe part of it is because not only did she not have affairs with men that they could hold against her, but that she was such a powerful woman that when she did do things like she tried to do, I cannot remember the woman's name.
Oh.
The main woman in the book, she,
Tatiana.
oh, that's right, Tatiana Romanova. When she tries to do something like that, it's always with an underling so they can like terrify her, or so she can terrify them, and like maybe that's why she was able to be that far up.
Right. That's true.
Yeah. What did you think? I'm gonna go ahead and throw this out there. There are gonna be spoilers. We're just gonna talk about the whole book. What did you think about the very end? I think when we were at book group, a couple of people were really confused about whether or not Tatiana survived. And she definitely survives.
No, Tatiana survives. That I was pretty certain of, but I was unclear. It's unclear whether he dies or not.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
Bond.
I have to let you know, and you already know this. I was pissed. Caroline and I don't remember where we were. I think wherever it was, we picked up a copy of the book, or I picked up a copy, or she got her copy, or something. And she immediately turned to the last page and read the last line. And I was like, "What is wrong with you? Like, Are you insane?
Sometimes you just gotta see what's up.
No, never. That would be like reading the last Harry Potter first.
I generally don't read enough to know. Like, you can't really tell that much
Yeah,
by.
but this is like, okay, so the last, do you want to read the last line?
Bond pivoted slowly on his heel and crashed headlong to the wine-red floor. So you sort of know it's gonna be a cliffhanger.
Yeah, but it's kind of like he died. Like, you kind of, I mean, it doesn't, knowing what happened, you're like, oh shit, he died once you read it.
But the thing is you know it's a series. So if it was like the first book that you read, like when it initially came out, you'd be like, "Oh, what?"
Oh
And
yeah,
then like
I could not have read
anticipating
them.
the third book or whatever. But you know, knowing that it's part of a series with, I don't know, seven books
I've no idea.
or more,
There's a bunch of them.
more or less, give or take, you sort of know, well, okay, well, it's got to turn out fine.
Yeah, well, and that was the thing. Like, it was kind of like I hate that. So that's one of the reasons I've recently started. As I'm reading series, I'll wait until at least two of the books, if not all of the books, are out in a series,
Yeah.
because then I can read through them back to back to back. Whereas I know if I would have been reading this and like I were invested and interested in it, and I read the second one, and I would have been pissed. I would
Yeah.
have been like, what?
But I don't think it's so strong. Like, I know there's one woman in our book club who went and got the third book
She did.
just to see how it turned out. But like, I'm not even curious. I'm like, okay, well, obviously he lives and goes on to do other things. I'm more interested in like, how does he finagle it to get her out of the picture? Because obviously he goes on to other like conquests of women. So
Yeah.
how does she die? Is he just like,
Which
peace,
she answered that,
girl?
our book group friend. She said she does die sometime between the two books.
Okay, so they have to kill off the women so he can go conquer other ones.
Be a not a
Great.
womanist. What is he called? Not sexist. Womanizer. So he can go
Womanizer.
continue being a
Yeah.
womanizer.
Well, it makes me think of like Indiana Jones too, because they never really
Each
answer
movie.
that either in those
Although
movies.
in
In the last one, but
Crystal Skull, Marion from Whatchamacallit
God,
comes back.
yeah, which that was a
Yeah, no,
terrible
it
movie.
was a terrible movie. It's the only one I don't have, but I do want the Lego, the full Lego game, just because it's added onto there.
But I watched that in German, so I also didn't fully.
Understand what's going on.
I mean, I did for the most part, but still, like, what?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, I just. I don't
It
even. I've seen it
doesn't even make
once.
sense. Like, I can suspend my disbelief going on these other conquests and, like, there being things that aren't really explainable. But, like, aliens and then the Russians, like, I just.
Well, it's, and that's the thing. I think the majority of them, they're just believable enough. It's kind of like when you read, like, how do you think you do a great suspension of disbelief, like, in general? Do you read a lot of fiction? Well, I know you read a lot of fiction, but do
Yeah.
you read a lot of future fiction or apocalyptic fiction? You know, the type of thing where it's, oh, what's speculative fiction? So, like, it's, you have to suspend your disbelief just enough that you could think it could happen, or do you just read everyday boring literary fiction where it's kind of, like, I don't know, what did I just give you? The French Lieutenant's Women or The Help, just regular everyday books, or do you read the ones I know you've read? Well, I don't know if you've
No,
read.
I mean, like, I think I've read some, I guess, fantasy. I don't know how you classify it, but like Harry Potter, that's the same thing. You have to suspend your disbelief in that magic can
Oh
exist.
no, it's real. Harry Potter's real.
Okay, it's real. Sorry. But that, and then I'm reading another, The Name of the Wind.
Is that Carlos Ruiz? No. Who is that?
I don't have it on me. Not sure. But same thing. There are demons and there's magic and that sort of thing. And so I think there's a way in explaining it in
Patrick
that,
Rothfuss. Does that sound?
yeah. And there's a way of setting it up in that you set it up, or Game of Thrones, you set it up in a world that magic and that fantasticness can exist. Whereas it's not in a realist world.
But so, are you saying you prefer those type of suspension of disbelief novels, like the ones where it's so like Game of Thrones versus Harry Potter, whereas like Harry Potter is part of our world, but it's just kind of on the edge of our world, or Hunger Games, it's just past our current world, whereas like Game of Thrones is like completely, it's a whole nother world.
That's a whole nother world. Yeah, no, I can suspend my disbelief for things that are set up in such a way that it's believable, you know, and believable enough to be able to take that leap.
Now I'm spoiling one of my questions for later, but you are planning to read The Hobbit.
Yes.
You've tried to read it before? You were younger. I think your sister had to read it or
Yeah.
something.
I think she had to read it in 8th grade, and I was in 2nd grade, and I was like, I want to be as cool as my siblings, read what they're doing for homework, because I don't have anything, or I like already finished my 2+2, whatever. And so, like, I remember like opening it and trying to read the first few sentences and was just, this is so beyond my comprehension. So like I tried, but I couldn't as a 8-year-old. And then I don't know, I've seen the play, I've seen the first part of a
I've
three part
seen
movie,
part
two
one
part.
of.
And like so I know the story and I think it's interesting and I'd like to actually read the book.
Yeah, sorry, I'm having mic issues. I keep muting myself. Yeah, okay, so that's interesting. Are you aware that Middle Earth, so like what Tolkien, however the hell you say it, what he created is the mythological history of England?
I don't know much about
Oh. So no, like it'll be
or Lord of the
interesting.
Rings or any.
But I think it'll be interesting once you do read them, because then you'll sort of be like, because the whole point is that it's leading up to the Age of Men, and then the Age of Men eventually leads into modern day England. Like, I don't know the full history, but I do know that he wrote them as like the mythology of the British Isles. And given, the whole Middle Earth, it's a lot bigger, but like he was trying to create a mythology that they didn't have. If I'm totally wrong about this, please don't complain.
Well, I don't know how The Hobbit ends, really. Something about a dragon unleashed or and conquered or something, right?
Yeah. I mean,
But
the defeat of Smaug.
so,
Smaug.
is The Hobbit a prequel to The Lord of the
Yes,
Rings?
it actually happens, I think, 40 years before, or it might be more than 40 years before The Lord of the Rings.
Because then, I mean, I'm not very well versed in this. Because I'm trying to think, because I think, don't they have to do the same thing in Lord of the Rings? Something
Kind
with a
of.
ring.
They do. Well, see, Bilbo discovers the ring during The Hobbit, and then he brings it back to the Shire and he keeps it on him for however many years. It might be like 70, I think, or maybe it is only 40. But then
His son. Or
his adopted son,
okay.
on his 111th birthday, Bilbo leaves the ring for Frodo. And then, sometime between Bilbo getting the ring and Frodo getting the ring, Gandalf and Aragorn go and find out that this is the Ring of Power. So that's sort of why they've disappeared. And then Gandalf is like, holy shit, this needs to be destroyed.
How does the last book end of Lord of
I don't know if I should
the
tell you that. I think you should have to read it. The first and the
I'll
last books are
eventually.
really, really good. The second one is going to be where you struggle, because
Yeah.
it was a pain. He described every vein on every leaf, on every branch of every tree, of every forest.
Good Lord, that sounds like John Steinbeck,
Yeah, it's
who I
I cannot
hate.
read Steinbeck. I've got two books I want to read by him, and I've yet to get through any either of them.
Ugh.
But actually, you should just watch the movies. They're really good.
I feel like,
And yeah,
and
you
I've
don't want to
fallen
worry.
asleep numerous
See,
times.
I cry at the end of Return of the King every time.
I don't even remember the third one.
Aragorn goes, "My friends, you bow to no one." And then everyone bows to the four hobbits, and I'm like, tears are flying down my face. I'm just like,
I don't remember. Is there a dragon in that one too?
no dragon. There's the Nazgul, whatever their flying creatures are called. I don't remember. Do you
Maybe
remember?
I blocked it out of my
I'm
memory.
sure you did. Do you remember Eowyn when she kills one of the flying creatures and she says, "I am no man"?
Nope.
Because the king of the Ringwraiths, he says, "No man can kill me," and she cuts his head off, or she stabs him in the face, and then she rips her helmet off, and she goes, "I am no man."
Is that Liv Tyler?
No, she's
Kate
Arwen.
Blanchett?
Nope.
Okay.
Cate
Nope.
Blanchett is Galadriel. This was a unknown. I think she was either New Zealand or Australian.
Okay.
But it was like, because a lot of the biggest complaints about the movies and about the books in general is the lack of female characters. So I think Peter Jackson kind of included that. I don't remember the books well enough. It's been since high school since I last read the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but I think he might have included that sort of as a nod to women. But her and Faramir get together at the end of the movie. I don't know about the book. I'm gonna reread them sometime in the next couple of years. But yeah, they're interesting. They're long and drawn out in the middle
Gosh,
one.
it's gonna take me forever.
Oh yeah, definitely. But The Hobbit's great, and it's super short. But we should go back to James Bond.
James Bond.
So what do you think about who's your favorite Bond? I think you and I have discussed it in The Only Ones. We both didn't realize there were Bonds before Pierce Brosnan.
Initially. Yes.
Like growing up, Pierce Brosnan was our first introduction
to James Bond. And I think Haley was the one who like soured that for me. I was like, really? Yeah. Because she used to watch James Bond movies with her dad, I think. And she watched the Sean Connery ones. And I was like, Pierce Brosnan is the only one. And she's like, no. So
we should have had her for this podcast.
We should have had her come too.
Nope. I don't remember the Pierce Brosnan. Like, I remember watching them, and I mean, GoldenEye spawned one of the best video games of all time.
Yeah.
That every kid everywhere is probably paid. But, like, I don't remember. I remember trying to watch them, and they were just as bad as the Sean Connery ones, I felt. Like, I mean, the graphics had clearly improved and the, like, CGI and stuff.
Right.
But it was just so...
I don't remember. I just remember... I mean, I remember when I watched them initially, I liked them, but I was also a kid because my brothers had the choice in which movies we rented, and obviously they were picking those and, like, Three Ninjas and, like, Surf Ninjas, anything with ninjas.
Three Ninjas Kickback. I loved those movies.
I love Three Ninjas. I really wanted to be a ninja as a child. But, so in that... You know, as a child watching it, I was like, oh my god, this is so awesome. And I only remember the scene with him driving in his car. I think it's one of the opening scenes. And then him, and I think Halle Berry was in one of them.
Oh, I forgot she was a Bond girl.
Yeah, and I think that's all I really remember. I actually don't remember anything about the storylines.
Sorry, there's something over here. It smells like alcohol.
Not like alcohol. It's champagne.
Not champagne. We're drinking champagne right now. Caroline was a little nervous. No, it smells like rubbing alcohol. A little concerned for my health. I might get lightheaded. But yeah, no. So, but what do you think about Daniel Craig?
Initially, I wasn't behind it because I was like, James Bond should be dark haired. Yeah. And I mean, I guess it went well. I also didn't know that Casino Royale is actually the initial story.
Oh, I forgot that. That's right.
So when I watched it, I was expecting him to be like a full-blown Bond. Mm-hmm. And like, I think in the initial story, it's not really set up that way.
Yeah.
So I was kind of confused. But I did really appreciate that M was a woman.
I love Judi Dench.
And I love Judi Dench.
She can do no wrong. But the new... Well, someone spoiled it for us. I haven't seen the most recent one, Skyfall. Have you seen Skyfall?
No, I don't think so.
I'm guessing you've put it out of your head already, but someone at the last one spoiled what happened because there's a new M.
Oh, so Judi Dench must die.
Yeah, so her character dies somehow.
So my thing is 007 also, I think somebody told me, was... It's a position, and so...
I think I told you this, and I think I'm wrong.
Is it you?
But yeah.
Oh.
Go ahead, because I think I'm wrong, and I'll say why.
And that James Bond isn't an actual
person,
but the position.
See, that's what
and
I
so
thought.
And so it can rotate.
Yeah. Well, I know 007, the 00 number has to do with when you've killed someone, and they mentioned that in one of the books, and I don't know why I know that. I've read it, or maybe someone up.
But there's like a 008 and a 00.
Yeah, 006, 007, 008. Yeah. And that's so you know. But I sort of, and I think this is probably wishful thinking on my part, I looked at James Bond sort of like the Doctor, so like the Doctor regenerates. Doctor Who, for those of you that don't know the Doctor. So I sort of looked at it as 007 was always James Bond. Like, that was just the code name for 007. So, like, 006 would have a code name as well. 007 has its code name, which is James Bond. But maybe I'm completely wrong, and I think the reason I thought that is because, what, there were 6 or 7 actors have portrayed it, and we found out, you know, Sean Connery was the first, the third, and the fifth, or something weird like that. So maybe I lied about that, but, you know, I could have read it on Wikipedia. We don't know.
No, I mean, in a way it makes sense, in a way it doesn't, because in Casino Royale, when they initially talk to him, they call him James.
See, I don't
remember. And he isn't a 007 yet.
I'm pretty positive that the 00 refers to when they kill someone. I don't know why I read that or where I read that, but I'm pretty sure that's right.
Well, I think it signifies that they're a special agent.
Okay. My biggest thing was I graduated college in 2007, and all anyone wanted to do was James Bond stuff. And
that's
I was
awesome.
No, that's horrible. I was like, it's so overdone.
But it's awesome.
We didn't. We ended up doing like beach music or something for our last
oh,
concert.
Oh, to like prance out of like graduation? That would have been great. 007 music.
No, there are. We graduated in the stadium because there were so many. It was just like 2,000 people or 2,500 people in my graduating class.
That's crazy.
Went to a big school.
22,000?
No, 2,500.
2,500.
I think the undergrads is something.
I think that was the size of our school, 2,500.
Yeah, no, I think we've gone up. I think the total number of undergrads is closer to 13,000 right now. Or maybe it's closer to 14. So 14 divided by 3, 12-ish. So roughly 3,200 in a class. I mean, it's but I never took large classes. I didn't. I started taking upper level classes pretty quick though. I think the largest class I took was probably Rocks for Jocks. I needed a science credit.
I took Chemo 101. I think there were 40 people in that class. Oh, is the most I'd ever been in.
Yeah, no, mine had like 400.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it was intense. But you know, I had fun. I enjoyed it. I don't know anything about it. I don't remember anything about it. My astronomy class was pretty big. And that was my first year. That was my second. I think it was my second semester. And I took it because I wanted to be Harry Potter.
Oh my god.
And we actually had a lab where you would go up on top of the planetarium and look at stars. But I realized pretty quickly that I didn't need a lab credit and I didn't want to get to class at 9 o'clock. So I dropped that portion of it really fast. All right, so any last thoughts on From Russia with Love?
You know, if you want to read it, but don't feel the need to.
Yeah, I mean, I would say pass. I mean, it was good for as an introduction for James Bond. It was interesting. It was good enough. I was more fascinated with the Grant Granitsky Nash character, who's the Russian.
Right.
I thought he was more interesting. Yeah. He was better developed.
And I actually wanted to learn more about the Russian Secret Service operation.
Yeah. Well, and that was okay. So that confused me. Sorry, we're going to go back into it. That confused me because you and I, when we were watching the movie, given we were only partially paying attention, they introduced Spectra, which isn't in the books.
Right.
And so we were just kind of like, wait, what?
Yeah.
And I think I don't remember. Oh, no, because they, I think someone at book group said in Skyfall or maybe Casino Royale, they talk about the origin of Spectra. So, like, that seems to be something they created in the films to tie all the films together. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So that was really weird for me. But yeah, I think my biggest thing with the book is that it was just sort of like, ho-hum. I will have to say there were two awesome facts that I learned or that I saw as I was reading. One was he makes a passing comment about it's never dull on the Orient Express. Mm-hmm. And I brought that up in book group and I was like, oh, that's so adorable. Ian Fleming becomes this like British icon as doing a nod back to Agatha Christie with Murder on the Orient Express.
Right.
So of course I picked that up. And then I found out that he wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. We grew up watching that movie. Have you ever seen it?
No.
It's this. she's looking at me like I'm crazy right now.
I've never seen that or Mary Poppins, so sorry.
I've seen Mary Poppins, but I don't remember much of it. But like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, really like Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, I love you. Do you recognize that song?
I like saw it in the previews for other like movies.
Other classic movies.
Yeah. I'm familiar. I don't know what the story is about, but I'm familiar with the song.
It's Magic Flying Car.
Yeah.
We need to have a movie night, clearly, because that is an awesome one. Among the millions of other things that we're in the process of trying to do right now. So I've got a couple of questions for you.
Oh, dear.
Before we go. They're not bad. And I was going to make you read something, but you read something anyway. Actually, no, you should read it.
So it's not the sex scene, is it?
It's not a sex scene. It's leading up
that's
to...
That's kind of what I would expect from you.
You would just want to read it. So you can do voices if you want. It's leading up to the sex scene. So the chapter is The Mouth of Marilyn Monroe. So it's that giant billboard where the guy comes out. But I want to start reading right there. So with Bond.
Till the end.
And just to the end. It's like three short paragraphs.
Okay. So Bond climbed the few stairs and unlocked his door and locked and bolted it behind him. Moonlight filtered through the curtains. He walked across and turned on the pink shaded lights.
No worries.
On the dressing table. He stripped off his clothes and went into the bathroom and stood for a few minutes under the shower. He thought how much more eventful Saturday the 14th had been than Friday the 13th. He cleaned his teeth and gargled with a sharp mouthwash to get rid of the taste of the day and turned off the bathroom light and went back into the bedroom. Bond drew aside one curtain and opened wide the tall windows and stood. Okay, that makes sense. Holding the curtains open and looking out across the great boomerang curve of water under the riding moon. The night breeze felt wonderfully cool on his naked body.
You're imagining Sean Connery. I wanted to stop you and be like, so are you imagining Sean Connery? Because I was.
Yeah. He looked at his watch. It said 2 o'clock. It's pretty late. Bond gave a shuddering yawn. He let the curtains drop back into place. He bent to switch off the lights on the dressing table. Suddenly, he stiffened and his heart missed a beat. There had been a nervous giggle from the shadows at the back of the room. A girl's voice said, "Poor Mr. Bond, you must be tired. Come to bed." And who gets in bed with a stranger?
But if you remember correctly, all she's wearing is a black lace ribbon around her neck.
Yeah, what the hell?
I loved that. I don't know why I folded that scene, but as I was reading it, I had already started scheming this podcast. And I was like, yep, this is the paragraph I'm going to make Caroline read. But it could have been worse. And it's sort of leading up to it. And I thought you would appreciate the leading up to the scene, even though it's... Oh, no, they do at that point. Because remember, there's that creepy mirror.
Yeah, they watch it.
Yeah. The Russians film them getting it on. It's even creepier in the movie. But, okay, so I've got a couple of last couple of questions. These are more like your reading history. So clearly you own a library card because we go to the library all the time.
Yes.
You actually own multiple library cards because you work for a school.
Yes. Well, my ID gets me.
Yeah, me too. I just turned mine on. I was excited about that. When was your first library card? / do you remember?
I think I was probably in second grade. And my mom's library card number was 13. And...
Wait. So, okay. How large is this library? Like...
I mean, it was like a single floor.
Okay.
I think it was the basement of a building. And in a town of 1,500 people. And the librarian was sort of just like sweet, being like, yeah, okay, I'll give you your own library card. And just gave me 13C. Aww. So it was like basically my mom, like off of my mom's account.
13 child.
Like, or like, yeah.
Oh, or Caroline. That works, yeah.
And I had that for many years. And then I think maybe when I was in high school or even college, they changed it to like a barcoded system. Yeah. And so I had to get something else. But from like when I was in second grade until whenever that happened, I had 13C.
That is awesome. And then when did you get your library card when you moved to Boston? Is that one of the first things you did?
Yes. As soon as I got a piece of mail.
Nice. And now, did you ever get a BPL library card, or did you only ever do the Minuteman in Somerville?
I only did
Somerville
for
4 years.
I only did Somerville because I thought you had to live in Boston for the BPL, which I've since found out is not true. But then I realized, I mean, all the discounts and stuff you can get with Somerville one, yeah. And then like a lot of the books, I mean, you can get through interlibrary loan. So yeah.
The cool thing, and we both learned this probably about the same time, is that anyone who lives in Massachusetts, that if their community has a library, they can get a Boston Public Library card, which is super cool. I mean, it's kind of sad for those people that live in communities that don't have libraries because then they don't have access, but it is really neat. Like, it's, I don't know, that was really one of the coolest things that I discovered. The next question, this is super loaded because I know all of these answers except the 5C, 13C, that's adorable. Do you own a digital reading device?
I do.
And why do you own one? Because it's a good story. If you don't remember it, I'm going to get after you.
Because Nick bought it for me?
And why did Nick buy it for you?
For my birthday? Oh, because you told him that I wanted it and that he should get it for me.
Yes, because you were like, I don't really want to ask him for that. It's kind of expensive and I don't really know what to ask him. And so I was like, okay, I will tell him you want it. And then so the whole time Nick was looking at it, you were kind of like, or he was like, well, which one does she want? And I was like, oh, I don't know. Maybe I'll drop it into conversation. Meanwhile, I'm like texting you as I'm texting with Nick. And I'm like, so Caroline, which one do you want? Paperwhite or the other one? Which one? Which one? It's adorable. I also knew, we'll talk about it on another podcast. What do you think about ebooks versus physical books? Because you and I both do a lot of checking out from the library of both kinds, actually.
Yeah.
But do you have any like strong opinions?
For books that are super heavy, and when I was commuting a lot on the T, I liked the e-reader better.
Amen to that.
But I dislike the fact that, at least on the Kindle that I have, like, you can't really tell how far into it or how much more you have to go. They have the whole, like, percentage thing, which, I mean, I'm not good at math, so I'm all... And then...
And they do the minutes read, or minutes left in the
chapter.
And, like,
if you're 15% through, okay, I don't know how many pages I've already read, so I don't know how many more pages I have to read. And then it gives you the location, but, like, it's not really, like, a page number.
Yeah.
So that's something that I kind of dislike. I like it better when I can sort of feel and know, like, okay, I'm 3/4 of the way through, or... Dang, I have a whole lot more to go.
Yeah, I agree. I always, when I'm looking at like Kindle books, I look to see if it has real page numbers.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of discussion on like forums and stuff about whether or not page numbers are needed. I think they are because of citations and stuff. So like, you know, I put page numbers on my blog. If you're reading a book for school, you kind of need those things.
Yeah.
What took me the longest is I've got Matt, my roommate's Kindle Paperwhite, and it has the X number of minutes left in chapter. Freaked me out. I was like,
yeah, I also don't like that because it gives me anxiety.
Yeah, it's you're reading, you're like, oh my god, but what if I read faster? Oh no, it still says 9 minutes and I flipped 3 pages. I'm reading really slow.
Yeah, same. And then like I'm also a person who just like will be reading and doing something else. So I'll put it down and then I'll go like get my toast or my coffee or whatever and then come back.
The page,
and then
it's
obviously
like
it
minutes.
Already like so it's factoring that time.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be. So then, should it really take me 15 hours to read this book? I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah.
Dear God.
Oh, well, so going on that, what do you think about audiobooks? Because they're all so long. They seem so long. I'm sure it's... I read super fast, so they seem like they would be a long time for me. But I don't know, like, have you ever done one? Would you do one?
Maybe. I mean, I've heard the audiobook for the America the Book, the audiobook by... John Stewart, and I think that's the only audiobook I've ever sort of listened to, aside from like German fairy tales, and that was for listening comprehension and trying to like learn a language. But otherwise, it's too easy for my mind to wander, I think.
Yeah.
And then it's like been 5 minutes, and I'm like, oh dear God, what have they been talking about? I don't know.
What's going on?
So, yeah, I'm not too huge of a fan of audiobooks.
Yeah. I agree. I will say the British Harry Potter versions, I think Stephen Fry reads them, phenomenal. The American ones are pretty good too. Those are the only ones that I've listened to most of them through, but I would like put them on and then go to sleep and like wake up and be like, what?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's one of those things. It's the reason that I will try again to read it in Spanish because it's something I'm so familiar with that if I miss something, it's okay.
Yeah.
Next last question. What was the last book you read aside from Russia with Love? I know you're reading one right now, and you can say what that
Dear
is.
God.
What did you read before that? It wasn't The Potato Peel Society, because you gave that to Katrin recently.
No, and that was a while ago.
Well, what are you reading now? You can just go with that.
The Name of the Wind.
Oh, yeah, we discussed that. Do you like it?
God, I need to write this stuff down.
It's not important. Goodreads, you should be on Goodreads. Are you on Goodreads?
Kind of. Not really.
Oh.
I mean, I have an account, but I don't do anything with it.
I feel less bad about.
I just like the graphics.
You not being my friend. See, I think it's super cluttered. There's a new one that actually looks really good, and I don't remember what it's called, but I'm still waiting for an invitation for it.
Well, just the books at the top. That's the only thing I like.
Oh, yeah. I want to do that on my blog. Like, I want to do like a bookshelf that shows like the last 20 books or so read by their cover, but I have to learn CSS or HTML or I know some HTML, but I have to learn something complicated for that.
You can ask Nick. He probably knows.
Yeah, or he'll learn it.
Yeah.
All right.
Name of the Wind. What did I have with me? Oh, what did I have with me? Yeah, I don't remember. I don't know.
No worries. Do you have a favorite book or genre? Like, do you have, like, your all-time favorite book?
No. I will say one of my favorite books growing up was The Rain Catchers, which is a young adult book, and I thought it was really cool because young girl lives with her, I think it's a grandmother and great aunts, and they live in this house, and the clock doesn't have hands on it.
Sounds like my nightmare.
So, but it's sort of like, you know, you don't live for the time, you sort of do things as you wish. But it still, you know, dings at the hour.
Okay.
And so they know, like, 4 o'clock is tea time, and they always go out and collect rain when it rains or something. So, whatever. I mean, it was...
You read some weird books as a child, didn't you?
No! It was cool, and I thought the whole concept of, like, not running your life by time was interesting.
Yeah, that is fascinating. I like the fact that I don't wear a watch and have my phone on me all the time, but that's just as bad.
Yeah.
All right, and then the very last question. If you could make me read any book, what would it be? And it could be a book you've read or a book you know that I hate, because I already know answers from a couple of people.
Make you read a book.
Or recommend. It doesn't have to be make me.
Yeah, that sounds devious. Let's see. I would have you read an erotic novel. Like a real erotic novel.
I read them.
Oh.
Some of the galleys that I get, those are like dirty, dirty novels. I've told you I would send them to you, but they're not male-female, they're male. Written by women, which is fascinating to me. But you know something, like, I grew up reading my mom's novels. Like, I have a very strong opinion about, like, romance novels. Like, I know you're thinking, like, erotica, but, like, romance novels are porn for women.
No, I know. My mom used to read, like, Nora Roberts, and,
I never read one of hers, but my mom read, like, a couple, like, Harlequin. She didn't read Harlequin, but she read some, like, Harlequin books, and one of my good friends and I in high school went and bought, like, 250 cents Harlequin books, and, like, within the first 10 pages, I was, like, beat red and terrified, because it was so nasty. And, I mean, it's not nasty, like, it's very, just, it's actually pretty tame, probably, compared to some of the stuff I've read.
Yeah.
But, like, as a high school student,
I know.
Oh, parents read
this. Because I read something, like, off of one of my mom's bookshelves, and I was like, what is my mother reading?
It's weird, though. Like,
it's very weird.
Women are more imaginative, and men have to watch it.
Yeah, probably, to a large extent. I'm still trying to think of a book that you should read. I would say maybe more something... nonfiction. I feel like you read a lot of fiction.
I do, but it's interesting. This year, 25% of the books I've read are nonfiction.
Oh, well then, take that back.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them are like self-help books, which are interesting. I've got a good nonfiction book for you. I sent it to you the other day. What I Talk About When I Talk About Running. Phenomenal book. He's a stunning writer. Caroline's running a half marathon in about a month. So by the time this posts, it will hopefully be in the past.
And I'll be alive still.
And she'll be alive. And then they were actually talking about a marathon, an actual marathon. You sent that today in October. Yeah. So that'll be interesting.
Oh, that's a lot of running.
It really is. So, all right. Well, don't worry about that. I'm sure you recommend books to me all the time. I've read a couple of them. But yeah, so I think that's about it. I would tell you to go follow Caroline on Twitter, but she's set to private.
I'm super private.
She has some hilarious tweets. They are only at late night, usually under the influence of some delicious drinks.
It's the only way I understand Twitter.
Yeah, she doesn't understand Twitter at all.
I really don't.
But you can follow me at Jeff_Whaley. You can check out my blog at The Oddness of Moving Things. That's jeffwhaley.com. And I'm sure Caroline will be back. This wasn't too bad. The next one, I have no idea who it will be. I've got a couple of friends that have said they're interested. It may be Caroline again. Who knows? So, yeah. So, thanks for listening.
Bye.